This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Glad you could be with us. Sports Map Radio on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Alan Propart is going to join us later this hour. All Dolphins from Sports Illustrated. We'll talk about Miami. They're one game behind Buffalo after their 19-7 win over Cincinnati. Some issues around Miami, but a good season. We'll talk about that. Coming up, we'll also have the good, the bad, and the dumb. Last night, the Washington football team beat the Steelers and upended their perfect season. And Buffalo had a great outing from Josh Allen as they beat San Francisco. Now there's one more game left as we go into finishing up this week. Dallas on the road to face Baltimore. The Cowboys at 3-8. Well, Baltimore at 6-5 are on a three-game losing skid, but they should have Lamar Jackson back from the COVID-19 reserve list. Okay, so we've sort of had this unbalanced season this year. We've had games on Tuesday. Now we have another game Wednesday. We had a game last week on Wednesday. I mean, think about the Cowboys, for example. The Cowboys are playing this week's game tonight, or Tuesday. They last played Thanksgiving Day, which feels like a while ago, right? I mean, it feels, you know, it was 11 days ago. And that's where Dallas is. Right, because of COVID-19 and every game getting moved around. That's the norm. I'm curious to see how the playoffs are going to formulate, because we don't like regular season. Yeah, all right, we'll take a Wednesday game. But imagine the outrage of somebody getting some extra time off because of COVID-19 to play a playoff game. That's going to happen. And well, I'm not saying it's going to happen. It could happen. That's a real possibility. That you might have a Browns-Buffalo football game be infected by COVID, and instead of playing Sunday, they play on a Tuesday night. And that's just the way it has to be. And then what do you do with the next week's playoff games for the winner? Do they get a short week? Does those games get moved? I mean, everything that we're doing during the regular season is going to go into the postseason, because the odds are with it. That we probably are going to have some adjustments to be made in the postseason. I'll be curious to see what the NFL does and how flexible they are when it comes to postseason football due to COVID. Because in the end, we want the games, right? We want to make sure we'll play them on Tuesday. It's better than nothing. But it does have to be sort of flexed around a little bit. The good, the bad, and the dumb is coming up next. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb, the Tuesday edition as we roll along here on Sports Map Radio. Let's get the good of the day, my friend.
The good of the day is that the COVID vaccines are rolling out.
That's what I keep hearing.
Now, it's good that we have the COVID vaccine. A 90-year-old UK woman, Margaret Keenan, became the first person to receive a COVID vaccine outside of testing.
That's good. We're taking care of the elderly first. Yeah. That's good, right?
But my favorite is the second person. I didn't get his age, but the second person is a UK man named William Shakespeare.
Oh, that's great. He's really, that's his name?
He had to be chosen at random, right?
Right. Come on. Please.
I mean, in a way, that's almost bad because he got it because of his name, right?
Yeah, yeah. If your last name was Shakespeare, would you really name your kid William?
I guess. Maybe you thought he would.
I just keep thinking about that Michael Bolton in Office right. Space, right? Just
anyone with the last name Jordan, can you name him Michael?
Right. There's just so many names. You know, and I'm sure Shakespeare is common, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
I know. Is it?
Maybe it is. I don't know. Who knows?
I have no idea.
But I think you would go, we're going to stay away from one certain name.
I mean, if your last name is Washington, I don't know if I've ran across many Georges.
I don't either. I don't think I've ever seen it in the news where they're like, a man was arrested on a third-degree robbery. George Washington, age 26, was taken into custody. Like, I've never seen that. I've seen James Washington, Jim Washington, Mark Washington. I mean, every other name. But I think you go, man, that's a lot to live up to. The founding father. Yeah. I don't think I want my kid to have this name. William Shakespeare. That's fantastic.
Second man or first man. Second person to get the COVID vaccine.
So are we secretly watching them to make sure they don't grow tentacles or anything
or
like
zombies?
That?
I'm figuring it's zombies. Because right? Isn't that, remember that Will Smith movie, I Am Legend? Isn't that how that started?
That's how they had a killer flu, right?
Well, no, they found the cure for cancer.
Oh, did they?
I think that's what it was.
Maybe you might be right. You might be right.
I thought it was like the cure for cancer, and everyone took the shot, and the side effect to the cure of cancer was that it turned you into a zombie.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. I thought it was a killer flu that they rushed to a vaccine.
The daytime.
Yeah, and Will was hunting him down.
Well, he wasn't hunting him.
I'm sorry. You know what? I correct myself. There are two I Am Legend movies. And Will Smith was in the remake of it. The first one, the I Am Legend is he's the legend because he's killed. The vampires are afraid of him because he's the legend. I'm sorry. I get the two movies confused. Will Smith's version, they're chasing him.
Yeah.
And so.
But he's trying to find a cure.
But in the first one, the original, the human is the terrorist because he's actively hunting them. And that's where the I Am Legend part comes in.
Gotcha. Yeah. See, I learned something new today.
But I get the two confused. So that's me at my old age, I guess.
Yep.
All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, now...
Don't tell me it's the old lady got the vaccine and then...
And then turned into a zombie.
Right, right.
But fortunately, she's one of the slow-moving ones, so we're okay.
We're okay for right now.
No. I don't know. Good. I hope the vaccine works because...
Me too. It'd be great.
You know, we need to get past COVID.
God, I really this, want... I this really.
Is, we need to just end it.
I want the health workers to be feeling okay.
Yeah.
They are so strained, so...
But the bad of the day, there was an Italian man who got into an argument with his wife. We've been there.
Okay.
And to cool down, he decided, you know, he needed to take a walk.
Take a walk.
Right? To calm down.
Just to slow down, yeah.
280 miles later.
What?
280 miles later, he was found, or he was finally picked up by Italian authorities. Who then proceeded to fine him for breaching coronavirus lockdown regulations.
Oh, my God. He walked 240 miles? 280 miles?
Yeah, don't forget that extra 40. 280 miles. That must have been some argument. Now, here's the bad part. You think it was a bad argument before.
Yeah.
Now you've been fined for coronavirus lockdown.
Now money has to come out of the account.
Yes.
To pay for this mess.
You think she was mad before?
Right.
Guarantee. I mean, you know what? What's the next walk? 300?
How many miles a day can the average person, not athlete, average person walk in a day? Stopping to eat, stopping to use the restroom.
Well, maybe he didn't stop.
Maybe he didn't. Maybe he just kept walking. But maybe 10? 11? Maybe, I don't know, maybe more, I don't know. But that's many, many days of walking to go 280 miles. Now, we sure he walked the whole way? He didn't hitchhike or anything?
No.
Okay, that's cool. That's awesome.
So I guess an average person, I guess, walks about 3.1 miles per day.
But if you were determined to go from point A, just said...
You could put some time under. I mean, what? You could run a marathon.
Yeah.
In 5 hours, and that's 26 miles.
All right, when I was in Colorado...
I'm saying an average person. I'm not saying, like, you know, Kenyans.
When I was in Colorado Springs, one of the DJs at the station cluster I was in, who's older than me by a number of years, he had this charity walk where he said he was going to walk from point A to point B, and it was like 25 miles. And it was a big deal. Like, it started at like 5 a.m., and they got the TV stations to be out there as he was going to walk 25 miles. There were younger people at the radio station that said, you know what? I'm going to walk with him. And when they were done, I asked people how it went. And I mean, I'm talking 25, 24-year-old kids who went, I can't stand. I can't walk. My feet are blistered. I'm devastated. Like, I'm really hurt. Like, these were young people. They weren't athletic. I mean, but they were young. And I'm thinking to myself, I'd be dead. Like, if I had to walk that, I wouldn't have made it.
Like, well, think about it. I mean, how many times, you know, you and I have both been to amusement parks. You know, we talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
You walk around all day. I mean, your legs, I mean, it's one of the best night's sleeps I always get.
Absolutely. But then you look at my Fitbit and it's like 13 miles, 12 miles.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I walked all day.
That's wrong.
Yeah. That can't be right. Because, I mean, I was on my feet the entire time. So this guy, 280 miles without needing to change his shoes.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic.
God bless him. My God. But you're right. She's going to be livid.
Yeah, that walk kind of backfired.
He's probably been gone for like a month.
What argument do you have to have where you just set out and go, you know what? I mean, I understand, like, I'm going to take a walk, maybe a drive to calm down. You know, sometimes you just need it. You know, we always say this, like, you know, you need to step away from an argument to calm down because your emotions are heightened. So you kind of step away for a little bit and then you come back, you know, with clarity.
Yeah.
What were they arguing about for 280 mile walk?
That's a great question because, like, if she did something horrible, right? He would have walked right to the lawyer's office.
Yes.
Right? But instead he was like, this isn't it doesn't warrant that. It just warrants me leaving the house for 280 miles.
280 miles.
You know what you're going to make me do at the end of the show? I'm going to do a little Google map of where 280 miles is from me and my house. Like, what does that mean? Like, how far is that? And just try to put in context how far he walked away from his home. That's what I'm going to do.
Okay, so he walked about 40 miles a day.
What?
Yeah, he walked 40 miles a day.
Oh, man!
Took about a week.
Oh, good God! God bless him! That's amazing!
Yeah.
40 miles a day.
40 miles a day. But, he broke curfew. Basically, COVID curfew. And now he's going to get fined about $485.
That's because if I ever did 40 miles in a day, I'm not doing it the next day, right? I mean, I'd be like, ugh, staying in bed. God bless him. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
Not only that, but his wife had reported him missing.
Of course.
God, yeah. This guy is in so much trouble.
Oh, I know, right? All right, what's the dumb of the day?
I saw this yesterday. I could not wait to share it with you.
All right.
There's a, maybe you saw it too. But I got the trailer for it.
All right, I can't wait.
There's a little bit of audio here. There's going to be a Lifetime mini movie.
Yeah, I saw this
premiering this Sunday. before this, you know, let me just play the trailer and see if you guys can figure out what is going on here.
What the hell are you doing?
A Lifetime original mini movie.
You don't answer my proposal, and now you're not answering my call.
I think I'm falling for the new chef.
Jessica is falling for Harlan.
The cook? Leave Jessica alone and skip town.
He has a secret recipe that's going to change the world.
Harlan claims to have some secret recipe.
A secret recipe? Spare me.
We all have our secrets. If you marry my daughter, I promise there'll be more long weekends in your future.
Mom, I have to tell you something.
We have a problem.
Secret's out, chicken man. I'll take care of this.
Ruining everything!
Just kill him already!
Who the hell are you? Harlan Sanders, the new chef.
Mario Lopez is Colonel Sanders in A Recipe for Seduction. Premieres December 13th.
Okay.
This is a joke, right?
This is real.
This is real? This is an actual movie?
This is an actual movie that's premiering Sunday.
This has marketing gimmick written all over it.
It is a conjunction. It's a movie in conjunction with KFC.
That's great.
KFC is one of the main sponsors of it. Stars Mario Lopez as Colonel Harlan Sanders.
This is the best.
And, yeah, he is that Colonel Sanders, the original recipe that they keep promoting there. I mean, I hope it's fake, but everything I've seen so far is pointing to the fact that this is real.
Okay, let's put it into even more context here. Is it Sharknado real?
It could be better than Sharknado,
right?
Real.
Meaning Mario Lopez, everybody involved in this knows this is a parody gag, fun, make fun of this. We're making fun of ourselves. This is so out of left field, but you're going to laugh your head off, and this is just really fun. Remember when we talked about Sharknado?
Yeah.
When Sharknado came out, and then every celebrity wanted to be in Sharknado. Well, like, everybody couldn't wait to get into Sharknado.
The first one, I think they all took it seriously.
Right.
They all played it. They all played the roles seriously.
Exactly. And then
realized that it was, you know, it's a sci-fi B movie. But then there just became this, like, this cult following.
Right. It was, everybody wanted a piece of the Sharknado, right? Everyone loved the whole idea of it. It was awesome, five, six movies? Could this be like this just group and just going, you know what, this is great. I get to play Colonel Sanders in a romance movie. We're just making fun of maybe Hallmark romance movies, whatever it is.
When you watch this preview, you have this feeling of, like it's overly done soap opera.
Yeah, right.
Romance film.
Yeah,
like over the top.
Right. So it's got that little element to it of kind of parody.
Yeah,
we're not really serious about this, but we kind of did it.
Because I mean, I like Mario Lopez.
I do too.
You know, sorry, you know, we're products of the 90s where Saved by the Bell actually ruled.
Slater. I mean, what are you going to do?
And he's starring in the new one, too. And that show's going on right now.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know. I still got to check out the reboot
of
Saved by the Bell.
Like, I can't wait for, like, the Ronald McDonald romance movie.
Yes. I mean, is that like, what they're going to do?
You know, like, him and Grimace are roommates and they like the same woman.
Does Wendy's come out all sassy? Because when you read the tweets, Wendy's the best one on tweet.
Yeah.
On
she's
Twitter.
Just this redheaded girl who wants to be out on her own, and her dad's just like, no, you will make burgers. I will not. And she comes to her senses after he has a heart attack and she has to take over the family business.
Yeah. I want my burgers round.
Exactly.
Wendy,
there's so many ways we can do this.
Yes.
Right?
Maybe. Maybe you have a royal one with Burger King.
That's right. You could do the Burger King, how he just,
throne. How about this? Burger King's at war with Dairy Queen.
That's very, right? Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, but you know what? Regardless of how stupid this is, I'm kind of intrigued.
I'm kind of intrigued too.
I might have to check it out. I'm sorry.
All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. All right, coming up next, we do the anniversary thing where there's sports and tragedy come together. 40 years ago today, next on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
40 years ago today, John Lennon was shot outside of his New York apartment. The sports world found out through Monday Night Football. We'll get to that in a second. Need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, and restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Stop by, talk to one of the professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So one of the greatest musicians of all time was shot outside of his apartment in New York City, and most of America did not know about it until Howard Cosell told them.
But it's suddenly been placed in total perspective for us. I'll finish this. They're in the hurry-up offense. Third down, four. Foreman. It'll be fourth down. Kavanaugh will let it run down for one final attempt. He'll let the seconds tick off to give Miami no opportunity whatsoever. Timeout is called. 3 seconds remaining. John Smith is on the line, and I don't care what's on the line, Howard. You have got to say what we know in the booth.
Yes, we have to say it. Remember, this is just a football game, no matter who wins or loses. An unspeakable tragedy confirmed to us by ABC News in New York City. John Lennon, outside of his apartment building on the west side of New York City, the most famous, perhaps, of all of the Beatles, shot twice in the back, rushed to Roosevelt Hospital, dead on arrival.
I don't think it was anybody back in the 70s and 80s that was better prepared for a moment like that as a sportscaster than Howard Cosell.
Yeah.
I don't know of anybody today that could do what Howard Cosell could do, which was transition easily from a game to a very tragic bit of news, a very important piece of world news, as seamlessly as Howard Cosell.
And then back to the game.
And that just haunting dead on arrival became part of the John Lennon story. I mean, become of the tragedy, because again, we do this a lot where we tell people what it was like back in the day. No notification.
No Twitter.
There was no way to know that John Lennon that night in New York got shot unless you were watching television or radio. And most of America was watching Monday Night Football, the most popular television show of its time. That's how they heard it. They didn't hear it from Walter Cronkite. They didn't hear it from Dan Rather. They didn't cut away from the game to the studio in New York. They just gave the copy to Cosell. They just gave the news to him and let him tell it, because he was brilliant at that.
Like, could you do that with Joe Buck?
I don't think you can.
Maybe, or Al Michaels. I'm just pulling up. You have to be one of the big guys, too. You're not going to do it to Ian Eagle.
You could, but you they would just do it, but you there's he was the like look at listen to the way Frank Gifford is not going to do that.
Right?
Frank Gifford is the play-by-play guy, and he knows what his role is. So he's setting up the play. He knows, as he says in the piece, he knows what Cosell is going to say. So he sets up the game and then gives it right back to Cosell, because the way Cosell delivers that, it's not a script. He gets the information and he sets it up, right? He sets it up by saying the Beetle, right? One of the most, you know, in most important Beetle, right? Roosevelt Hospital, shot in the back twice. He get all of this information and he lays it out seamlessly. He doesn't rush to the news. He doesn't deliver it with any real emotion other than to tell you things. He interwoven his thoughts on the importance of John Lennon. But all throughout reading that report, he just bang, 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 bang until dead on arrival. And that's how most of America found out the one of the most influential and more popular Beatles of all time, one of the greatest musicians of all time, had got shot and was dead 40 years ago today. 40 years ago. It's just it as a broadcaster, I will tell you, I grew up knowing that people took shots at Cosell. And I was a kid thinking that way, right? Because everybody took their shots. He was the sportscaster everybody hated. And it wasn't until as I got older and I read his books, I realized how smart he was. He was very arrogant and he was hard to work with. There's no question about that. And he was nasty to people. There's no question about that. There's plenty of people will tell you he was it was impossible to work with, including people in that booth, in the Monday Night Football booth. But they all would say things about Cosell that would say, look, I'm not a fan of the guy. I worked with the guy. But he is the best at this, this, and this, right? Remember when Cosell had a controversy in the 80s where he called Alvin Garrett a little monkey? Remember that? And everyone said, oh my God, Cosell said a racist, you know, called a black player in the NFL a little monkey, and Cosell had to defend himself. But to his credit, and we don't see this enough today, there were people who hated Cosell, had an axe to grind against Cosell, really did not like him, right? Things, you know, real verbal spats, real workplace problems. But they all came out and said, look, Cosell is this, 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 and this, but he ain't a racist. That was an innocent comment that he made when he talked about affectionately what he would call his grandchildren. He used that terminology to describe Alvin Garrett. It had no racial connotation whatsoever. I don't like Cosell. I hate him. He drives me crazy. We have this real bitter problem, but he's not a racist. And so that's the kind of person that he was, where people were willing to say, let's not go down a road that he's not, because he's not. He stood up for Muhammad Ali, he stood up for Jackie Robinson. Throughout his entire career, he was on the side of African Americans getting opportunities in sports. He would yell at the commissioner of baseball for things that he felt like there was some serious injustice in hiring managers, et cetera, et cetera. All throughout his career, he was on that side because he was a lawyer. But his ability to do what you just heard, he was different than everybody else in that regard. One of the things he was really angry about in his career was they used Jim McKay in the 72 Olympics to talk about the Munich situation in Munich, the Israeli hostages. They when the sporting event turned to news, they went to Jim McKay. Cosell thought he got overrun on that. Like he was
passed over.
He was passed over. He said, I'm a Jewish American. This is important to me. I should have been at that desk. I should have been the one that was covering that situation at the games. I was there. I should have been the one. And he felt he was passed over. But he delivered that tragedy. That Pacific moment, he delivered it brilliantly. He did that a number of times in his career. But 40 years ago, John Lennon, who knows what the Beatles would have been or what would have happened to their music if he was alive today.
Together?
Who knows, right? You never know. Time heals wounds. You know, he was only in his, what, early 40s, right?
Well, I mean, what John Lennon would have produced.
What John Lennon would have produced on his own. You know, you would think that at their age, with the money that was given to acts to revitalize their career, they probably would have had a reunion at some point. Who knows? 40 years ago, John Lennon, shot in the back. We'll continue with Wake Up Call. We'll talk Dolphins next. Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Alan Poupar, all Dolphins, Sports Illustrated. Miami is a game behind Buffalo at 8-4, making a run towards not only the postseason, but possibly an AFC East division title. How are you, Alan? Thanks for joining us.
How are you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. So let's get this quarterback situation straight. Where exactly Tua Tagovailoa is the starter until he's not, but how do they feel about the dual quarterback situation in Miami?
It's not really a dual quarterback situation in the sense of in the true sense of the word. It's Tua Tagovailoa is the starter. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a very, very good backup to have, not only because he can win games if he has to come in off the bench, but also because he's a veteran who's been around and can help out Tua in a variety of ways in terms of what he's seeing on the field and all of that. So they feel they have the perfect quarterback situation right now, helped by the fact also, I should mention, that Ryan Fitzpatrick has the perfect temperament, team-first mentality, outlook to serve in his role instead of pouting or ignoring the rookie who basically took his job as he suspected, predicted he would.
But is Tua a true starter in that in other quarterback situations, they're not quick to go to a backup? Does he stay in when he struggles?
Okay, I'm having a bit of a hard time catching you. I think you're asking me if he stays in if he struggles.
Right.
I think unless it gets to a case as we saw in Denver a couple of weeks back, where the offense really wasn't generating anything with Tua. Tua looked off from the start that day, and the Dolphins were down 20-10 early in the fourth quarter and just needed something, anything to get going on offense. And at that point, Brian Flores made the decision to go to Fitzpatrick. And lo and behold, the offense actually started showing some spark. They got themselves in a position where they were a touchdown away, until Ryan Fitzpatrick was picked off in the end zone by a very, very good player, all-pro safety or Pro Bowl safety, Justin Simmons, who made a good play on the ball that appeared destined to be a touchdown pass to Devontae Parker. I think you could see a situation where if the Dolphins find themselves trailing, the offense not doing anything, that it's not impossible that Brian Flores would do it again. But it's not a case where if the offense is not going, automatically he'll go to Ryan Fitzpatrick because he has that kind of backup.
So you have a team that, again, 8-4 in the hunt for a postseason, in a hunt for a division title. How did the transition go from Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's doing a good job, but eventually was going to have to cede the position over to Tua, for a rookie to take over a team that had playoff aspirations, that were looking like they were going to be in the fight for the postseason at one point at 3-3?
Well, here's the thing you have to understand about the Dolphins is they're not winning because of their offense. They're winning because their defense has been playing lights out, not so much in terms of the yardage they allow, but in terms of coming up with big plays at key moments, always creating turnovers. 18 straight games dating back to last year that they've forced at least one turnover. A lot of sacks, secondary as good as any in the NFL, which allows them to go crazy with their blitz packages, whether it's showing seven to the line of scrimmage, whether they send however many of those seven to four after the quarterback. So that's allowed them to do a lot of things. And their special teams also have been outrageous, best in the league, if not top five. So that's what's led them. And right now what they need more than anything, what they've needed, I should say, in the recent string of games was for the offense to make plays here and there, but mostly not make the costly mistake. And Tua has been very good in that sense. He hasn't thrown a pick yet, although he's got a couple of close calls, a couple of lucky breaks that have wiped away interceptions or negated what should have been interceptions. But he's, again, what he's done is not make the mistakes. The potential problem that's going to surface now is the schedule gets a whole lot tougher down the stretch in these final four games, starting Sunday with the Chiefs. And the notion of the defense being able to single-handedly, defense/special teams being able to win the game with the offense doing very little other than not turn the ball over is going to be stretched. So this is the time where Tua and the offense are going to have to start making plays if the Dolphins are going to culminate this playoff push with, indeed, a playoff appearance.
last year when they were 0-7, there was some historically bad numbers for this team. But then they finished 5-11, which was more than what people thought, given their struggles in the beginning of the season. When did Brian Flores start producing, or when did the organization started to coming together so that now we have a team that is a threat to win the division?
Well, if you look back even at their 0-7 start, the first four games were historically bad. It was blowout after blowout. And then even over the next three losses, you started seeing signs that this team was actually becoming competitive. They weren't winning, but there was a game against Washington they almost won. They went for a two-point conversion to pull out the win. It came up short. They had a Monday night game against the Steelers where they got off the 14-0 lead right away. Didn't materialize, but so you saw signs that this team is getting better, even as the talent level remained really, really poor. And let's be honest, the 2019 Dolphins fielded a roster that was subprime, and that's being very, very, very polite. And the ability for them to pull out five wins out of those in their last nine games, including that season finale at New England, kind of told you right there that they're on the right track, and they certainly have the right head coach. And then in the offseason, they had a bunch of cap space. They had a bunch of draft capital and brought in a ton of new players, many of whom are playing key roles, starting with Byron Jones, the former Cowboys cornerback, Emmanuel Ogba, former defensive end, who actually going to be facing his former team this weekend, who's been lights out as a pass rusher. And what you're seeing as a result, you knew they were going to be better. You knew they're going to be a lot better, that they would find themselves at 8-4 with four games left and holding the sixth spot in the AFC standings. I don't know that anybody would have predicted that, but it was clear heading into 2020 that there was a lot of reason for optimism, and it certainly played out that way.
Let's get to Brian Flores, because one of the things that came out of this weekend was the sort of the fight between the Dolphins and the Bengals, and how Brian Flores was sticking up for his guys and players. And then the conversation went, man, everybody on this Dolphins team loves playing for this guy and loves just knowing that the coach has their back. How did he win them over? What's his personality like?
No nonsense. Not much playing around. There will be time for joking, but when it's time to play, get down to business, you get down to business. Not necessarily a team-first guy to the end. If you listen to his press conferences, we ask about individual players who are having good years, and it's extraordinarily rare that you get anything other than Brian Flores starting to talk about everybody on his unit helping contribute to that one player's success. And then always throwing in there, yeah, he's playing well, he's making progress, but he's got room for improvement. It's always, everything is tempered. It's always one game at a time, no big picture talks. It sounds a whole lot like Bill Belichick, what you get out of him from New England. And he talks about the opponents. Every opponent is great. We'll run down every player on the unit. Again, it's very Belichickian in that sense. But the guys absolutely like playing for him. He sticks up for them. And what he did at the end of that Bengals game, walking over to the Cincy sideline after the cheap shots on Jakeem Grant, yeah, that absolutely won him points with his players. Even though he said himself after the game he wished he had kept his composure and his poise better, I think actually there certainly wasn't anything that hurt him or in that sense. If anything else, if anything, actually it helped him with the standing with his team, if it wasn't already about as good as it could get.
Alan Pupart.
And I would add one.
Oh, good.
I would add one more thing, if I may. Also, it also helps that he can mold his team because it's such a young team. There's only one player on this roster who's more than 30 years old, and that's Fitzpatrick. So that helps. So he can create the kind of team that he wants, and you see the product on the field.
Alan Pupart joins us, all Dolphins from Sports Illustrated. And again, thank you for joining us. One last thought on this team. We're not talking about a franchise that has this long playoff drought. I mean, 4 years ago, they lost to the Steelers and went 10-6. But given where this team was a year ago, given what people had been talking about this team, what they were doing a year ago, what would it mean for Flores, for Tua, for even Ryan Fitzpatrick and some other guys on this team to get to the postseason?
It would be a great accomplishment. I'm not sure, though. See, the Dolphins are not going to look big picture. I'm going to look big picture here.
Sure.
Because I think, playoffs or not, the step that they have taken this year and the position that they put themselves in to become a playoff contender year in and year out, because they have a really, really long, really, really young nucleus with some good young players. We've already established the coach absolutely can coach. And if Tua continues to develop and becomes the quarterback they hope that he can be, you have that position settled. I mean, the future is extraordinarily bright for this franchise. As I mentioned before, they have an 8-4 record, which a lot of years would push you comfortably in a playoff situation right now. Unfortunately, it's a very, very good AFC this year. They do have a really tough ending schedule with KC, New England, Vegas, and Buffalo. So there's no guarantee that they will make the playoffs. But regardless, this has been a tremendous year in terms of taking that next step in what was a rebuilding process. They began in 2019, and we didn't exactly know how long it was going to take. They've accelerated the curve in the rebuilding process this year, big time, regardless of whether they make the playoffs.
Alan, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. Thank you again. We hope to catch up with you soon. Appreciate it.
I would look forward to it. You take care.
You got it. Alan Pupar, again, all Dolphins at Sports Illustrated on our Progressive Guest Line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. All right, so with the holidays approaching, hey, you may be wondering, what can I get the sports fan in my life? Or maybe, what could somebody get you as the sports fan? Well, Homefields has got the answer. Go to homefields.com, and you will see some beautiful three-dimensional art pieces of your stadiums of today and yesteryear of your favorite team. Whether you want to go to a stadium that no longer exists, or a new modern stadium or arena, Ken Small has created these beautiful 3D art pieces, and he did it in a way that really brings to life the stadium. They're shot from above. They have this beautiful 3D effect, especially when they're lit, and they're great for your mantle, the office, man cave, wherever. And they make great Christmas gifts as well. So check them out at homefields.com. There's more than 160 stadiums and arenas available. And again, you can go as far back as Ebbets Field. They have that. Again, all lighted, three different sizes to choose from. I have a stadium that no longer exists, Three Rivers, from my youth as a Steeler fan. Ron is Dodgers Stadium. Anthony Pepe is a beautiful Fenway Park home fields on display. Check them out again at homefields.com. They make a great Christmas gift. All right, it is Sports Map Radio. We'll continue. Unpacked a couple of things about the Dolphins' possible playoff run this season coming up next.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage that fits your life. Rocket can. Also, don't forget Nauseen, because we've been talking about Nauseen because it is the holiday season and you may overeat, which was what we're going to do. I am. Upset stomach and nausea remedy. It's quick dissolving Trubel tablets. Yes.
It's not you may overeat. You may. You're going to.
Yeah, you're going to overeat.
You're going to overeat.
So when you have that stomach discomfort, wild cherry flavor, quick dissolving chewable tablets available in the digestive center of most leading retailers. To take two or three four-minute formula, quickly relieves stomach discomfort from overindulging. It's got a specially buffered formula that helps calm and control upset stomach discomfort from overindulging this holiday season, which we now know you're going to do. So don't forget the Nauseen. Again, repeat, available in the digestive section of most leading retailers. Okay, so Alan brings up the way he answered the last question I thought was important, because the last question was, look, we're not talking about an organization that's, you know, like the Browns, where like they haven't been in the playoffs in almost 20 years.
Yeah.
The Dolphins went 10-6 in 2016, which was just 4 years ago, and they lost to the Steelers in the playoffs. Actually, it was a pretty hard-fought playoff battle. But this team in the last couple of years have given you the optics that they don't know what they're doing. Right, they've been a mess. He's right. Those first couple of games last year were historically terrible.
Right, but you know, you and I both probably have a difference of opinion of, hey, they lost a close one to Washington.
Just yeah, right.
You know, a failed two-point conversion where you and I are like, that was the worst play call in the history of two-point conversions.
It was designed to tank the game at 0-5. Designed to tank the game.
A play like that would get Greg Williams fired.
Yeah, and he was right. They went up on the Steelers 14-0 on that Monday night game, and I was nervous, but the Steelers won 27-14. But what would it mean for the organization to win the playoffs? Look, the Dolphins, look, you go to everyone, Super Bowl or nothing, man. But if you were to pull back a little bit and go, okay, let's be realistic. I think it'd be magnificent for Flores to have let, if he gets his team into the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, just, and it's hard. Look, don't get me wrong. He's got some tough games on the schedule coming up. Kansas City, the Patriots are playing better, Vegas on the road, and Buffalo at the end of the season. That's a tough stretch of four games.
No, but I mean, you lay it out like this. If they make the playoffs, I think they overachieved this year.
Yeah.
If they were to win a playoff game, that would be phenomenal. But there's, you know, like Alan said, I mean, you got to look at the big picture. And you and I, you know, that's what we do. We look at the big picture of things. They're not making a run to a Super Bowl.
No.
I'm sorry. I don't care how hot they get.
I agree.
But
I mean,
just making the playoffs, I almost feel like that's overachieving for them at this point.
I mean, they've won 7 of their last 8 games. I mean, they're 8-4, but they started 1-3. I mean, they struggled at the beginning of the season, then found some things that clicked and played better. That loss against Denver was embarrassing because their offense was terrible, but their offense hasn't been good. He's right. It's defense. But I think to say, look at what they've done. I mean, they got draft picks. They traded Laremy Tunsil. They traded Minka Fitzpatrick, right? They traded guys that weren't going to fit into what they were going to do long-term, financially or scheme-wise. And now, even if they don't make the playoffs, you're right. If they don't make it, but they go 9-7, man, what a difference between a team that just last year was historically terrible in the first 7 games.
Yeah.
Jake Asman Show coming up next.